This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Welcome back once again to the People Speak Radio Show. I'm your host for tonight, Steve Johnson. The People Speak Show normally airs every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific and 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network. This is a fantastic show tonight. I'm more excited than David Cameron let loose in a Scottish piggery. We're talking to two very special guests here today. Both are well-known peace activists and are on board the Women's Boat to Gaza, leaving in a fortnight for Palestinian shores. We're talking tonight to Mairead McGuire and Wendy Goldsmith. Welcome to the People Speak Show, Mairead, ma'am.
Thank you very much indeed. It's good to be joining you.
God bless you for joining us. And we'll be taking audience questions after the first half hour. But my first question to you, once again, is what initially inspired you to take part in this action to help Palestine?
Well, I just feel deeply sorry for the terrible suffering of the Palestinian people and the people in Gaza. And I feel it's important that we stand in solidarity with those in Palestine calling for their freedom and for the blockade of Gaza to be lifted. So I feel going and standing with people who are working so hard for human rights and international law for their Palestinians is very important.
Now, you've done a lot of peace activist work all around the world, including in your homeland of Ireland. Have you had much harassment or backlash from anyone over the years because of your pro-peace activities?
Well, you know, it's very important to stand and not be silent in the face of injustice and abuse of human rights and international law. And that's why the tragedy of Palestine has gone on for so long. So The important thing is not to be silent and to speak for truth, for human rights, for non-violence. And yes, you do receive, of course, some opposition to that. But in the final analysis, we must not be silent when faced with terrible injustice anywhere in the world.
Absolutely. It's when good people do not speak up that evil people have their way. Do you think that's what's happening in Palestine at the moment, that Israel are basically occupying that whole land because not enough people are talking up about it? Do you think that's the case?
Yes, I think so. I mean, Israel has occupied Palestine since 1948. It is carrying out a brutal blockade against Gaza, and there is far too much silence with regard to this abuse of international humanitarian law. It's totally illegal what Israel is doing with regard to Palestine and Gaza and the international community. Not only is silent, but is actually complicit in this brutal occupation. In America, the government policy is to support Israel and fund the occupation of Palestine and also the European Union and the UN and many governments have remained totally silent when the Palestinians have been suffering so much under inhuman occupation and an apartheid Israeli system.
And this is apparently not the first time you've been on a flotilla, a peace flotilla, to Gaza. Can you tell me what actually happened last time that you were on the boat to go to Palestine?
Well, this will be my fourth journey on the Free Gaza boat. And I have been lifted before and not allowed to go into Gaza. But on one occasion, we did get into Gaza in 2008, and it was terrible to see the tremendous suffering that the Palestinian people are being imposed upon them. It's a humanitarian crisis. It's a political occupation by Israel, totally illegal, and the people most really suffering are the Palestinian women and children whose life is absolutely unbearable. So we must do something to get end the occupation and to help the people of Gaza and Palestine.
Has there been any response from Israel at all since you announced that you're sending more boats to try and break the blockade? Have they said anything about that, about your women's boat that you're sending?
Well, you know, we are focusing on calling international attention to the ongoing illegal blockade by the Israeli government of Gaza and occupation of Palestine. That is our main focus. And to support the women and children and girls in Gaza who are working to try to get human rights and international law upheld. It is very important to remember Gaza is only a small strip, 1.5 million people, but 50% of them are young people under the age of 21 years of age, and their country has been destroyed. Their infrastructure is destroyed. The port of Gaza itself has been closed by Israeli Navy for 40 years. The entrances into Gaza, the six crosses, are closed by Israeli military. So Gaza is the largest open-air prison in the world. And the UN's report has said that by 2020, Gaza will be unlivable. So their infrastructure is destroyed. They haven't enough food. They have no freedom to get out of their open-air prison. Their lives are totally controlled by Israeli government. And we must draw attention to the world. The absolute unacceptable is this in today's world, that humanitarian law is being abused by Israel and the world remains silent.
Now, there's been a lot of countries, most recently in the past few years, countries that have recognized Palestine and the right for Palestinians to exist in that land. Do you think we will ever see a day when Palestine is its own country that is not under any occupation? Do you think we'll see that day anytime soon?
Oh, yes. I believe you have got to have hope. And the Palestinian people, when I go there, give me great hope, because they are working away for their human rights, for international law to be upheld. They're working to end the occupation by Israel of Palestine, and we have to support that. So, yes, I do believe that that is possible, but I believe that the policies of America, which support Israel in its military occupation of Palestine, has to change. And the political leaders who have the power to do that in America and Europe, and the changing of the mindset and attitude of the Israeli government is very important, because when Israel decides it wants peace and chooses peace over taking Palestinian land, then there will be peace in the Middle East.
Would you agree that there is no actual Israel? All there is occupied Palestine. Would you agree with that statement?
No, I wouldn't. I recognize the state of Israel, and I uphold the rights for the people of Israel to have their human rights under international law. But I uphold the rights of the Palestinian people not to be living under military occupation, and to have their human rights and international laws upheld. What is happening now in Palestine and in Gaza is the policy of the Israeli government is a collective punishment of the whole of people of Gaza, and that is totally unacceptable under international law and the Geneva Conventions. No government has the right to collectively punish a whole people and that is what is happening by Israeli government with regard to Gaza and the Palestinian people.
Now, former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney exposed a few years ago that all congressmen and senators are forced to sign a pledge to support Israel when they take their political positions. Is that not a clear case that America is treasonous, that it's a sign of overt treason within America to support Israel, whether it's right or wrong? Do you see that?
Yes, and I think this is terribly sad because, and I believe that Congressman Cynthia McKinney was right to reveal the fact that the congressmen and senators take this pledge of allegiance to Israel. I mean, what other country in the world has this power over any other government? None. We would not, as Democrats working for human rights, international laws, we would not allow an outside government to have that kind of power over our legislators and over our government policies. And as long as that goes on, and as long as we have a president of the United States saying they will support Israel's policies no matter what, that is totally wrong, because you have to uphold the rights of all people, and particularly the vulnerable and those who cannot speak for themselves. Israel demolishes Palestinian homes. I know, I've been there many times. They occupy more and more of the Palestinian land. They have thousands of political prisoners. They imprison young Palestinian children. The abuse of human rights is very, very sad. So we need foreign policies and leadership and America to say that Israel has to uphold international law and human rights as a member of the international community. That's all we're asking. We recognize the state of Israel, but we're asking them to uphold the rights of the Palestinian people.
How were you treated by the Israelis last time that you visited there? Did they treat you with respect, or did they treat you like criminals?
Well, when we tried to go in several times on our the Free Gaza boats to try to get in through the port of Gaza, which has been closed to the people of Gaza for 40 years, you know, can people listening to this conversation believe that if their port was closed for 40 years, their airport demolished, their borders closed, and they lived in the largest open-air prison in the world? Can they believe that for over 60 years the international community would remain mostly silent and impotent to their plight? It's unbelievable when you really sit down and think about this. So really, it's not how the Israelis treat us, it's how the Israelis are treating the mostly children in Gaza, and the women and the girls in Gaza whose life is so, so hard for them, and it doesn't need to be.
Mm-hmm. With the current president of the United States, President Barack Hussein Obama, has actually killed more people worldwide with drone strikes than any single person in history. However, he got the Nobel Peace Prize. As a person who got the Nobel Peace Prize, do you think it's sad that they're giving it to people like this in this day and age?
Well, I think it's very important that we revisit Alfred Nobel's will, and it says a lot, and you can Google it quite easily. And over 100 years, Alfred Nobel was setting down a program for how we as the human family could live together and solve our problems. And he led out a political program, and some of the stipulations that he made as to who should be given the Nobel Prize was, one, people who worked non-violently, peaceful solutions to their problems, cooperation together with the human family. He talked about very clearly about fraternity amongst the nations. He wanted the nations to be friends, and indeed we must aim at being friends. He wanted no militarism in our army. He wanted that money to be used for human security, education, health care, environmental crises. He laid out that program. And he talked about holding congresses of peace in order that we could look at these problems together as a people and solve them together. So, I mean, he was saying that over 100 years ago in Europe. And how much we need to say that today in Europe, and for people who are talking about demilitarization, who are talking about no wars, who are talking about the cooperation amongst the human family, who are encouraging us to solve our problems without killing each other, but upholding human dignity and human rights. That champions of peace that Alfred Nobel wanted to give his prize to, we must identify them and give the prize to those who will help lead the human family out of this terrible vicious cycle of violence and counter-violence, militarism and war, which is taking us nowhere. We have to change course.
Fantastic answer. I believe we have somebody on the line there. We've got Mike from California. Are you there, Mike? Please state your question.
Yes. Mareed, my question for you is, you know, there's a famous YouTube of you being shot at by Israelis, and one of the bullets actually hits you. And it seems like they are very violent, considering the Gaza boats before have been boarded and there was a lot of violence and people killed. What do you think may happen this time when they eventually board your ship?
Well, you know, we are going in hope that we will get into Gaza, and I do believe and hope that we will get into Gaza in order to stand in solidarity people with the people of Gaza and just say to them, look, we can't solve this problem, but we do care for you, we love you, we are really working that these policies will be changed and that you will gain your freedom. So that's our focus, and that's our what we want to put our energy and attention into, standing in solidarity with the people of Gaza and the people of Palestine and the activists within Israel who are themselves working for peace. You know, the Palestinian question and its answer is a key to unlocking peace in the Middle East. As long as the Palestinian issue is not dealt with, there will be that pain, that anger, that injustice will create more and more anger. So we need to solve the Palestinian issue and help the Palestinian people find their leadership and their way forward, and we just stand in solidarity with them.
Fantastic, fantastic answer there. You know, it's very, very important that people do speak up about this and do take action against this. And maybe even the last 10, 20 years, it's been accelerating. We now have the BDS movement. We now have more governments speaking up about the Palestinian-Israeli issue. Do you see that it's come a long way in the last 20 years or so, that more and more people are speaking up and actually doing something about it? Do you see that happening?
Well, I think that the important thing is that people recognize there is something that can be done here. We can all do something for peace. We can all do something for Palestinian human rights and freedom. And yes, I do see the BDS movement being a very important movement. We remember in apartheid in South Africa, when the BDS movement there, supported by Bishop Tutu and many others, that helped end apartheid in South Africa. You know, it's very important that we also apply this BDS movement for human rights, for the end of occupation of Palestine. Some people from South Africa went to Palestine, and they said that it was far worse apartheid in Palestine than they had experienced in South Africa. And this is true. It's an apartheid system being run by Israel. It's a racist system. It is a slow ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people because their homes are being destroyed, their land overtaken, and their opportunities are being closed to them. So we really have to work in all non-violent ways, keeping the struggle totally non-violent and supporting those within Palestine and Gaza and the activists within Israel who are working for a peaceful solution to this Palestinian tragedy.
And how do the Palestinian people themselves, how do they respond to the peace activists like yourselves that are putting their lives on the line to try and break this blockade? Are they grateful for that? Do you feel the warmth and the joy from these people?
Well, you know, it's really the other way around, because, yes, the Palestinians, we do feel their warmth, their kindness. They are very lovely people. But it's the other way around, because when I go and I recognize the tremendous courage of the Palestinians, and especially the women and young girls, it's quite enormous the way they are working. They're keeping their families together. They're trying to educate their kids in the midst of terrible tragedy. You know, and if you lived in Gaza, you have your electricity only comes on every couple of days for a few hours. Your water, you only get water every couple of hours for a few days. Hospitals have been destroyed during Operation Cast Lead by the Israelis. Hundreds and hundreds of people died, a third of them young children. I mean, are the hospitals destroyed? Are schools destroyed? The hardship of trying to survive every day in Gaza and in Palestine is enormous. So I just admire what the women and the young girls are doing there to try to keep their families together and have some kind of normality.
You know, even in the state of Israel today, there are peace activists now standing up for Palestine. They're not afraid to talk out, even in their own country. We're seeing that more and more people around the world are standing up and denying Israel the right to do whatever they want to the people of Palestine. Do you see that as cracks in their agenda? The cracks are forming in the Israeli political agenda. Do you see that?
Well, I do see this, because I think now, unfortunately, mainstream media have fed us a lot of misinformation about what is happening in Israel and Palestine and in Gaza. And we are getting the drums of war being fed. And unfortunately, this makes people afraid. But now people are going to alternative media. We can find out exactly the facts and the truth. We can find out ways in which we as civil community can mobilize, can organize, can cooperate in changing these policies by our government, which are not taking us to peace, but taking us down the road of war. And so we can mobilize, and that will bring about change. And the civil community in Northern Ireland, in the height of violent ethnic political conflict, we turned the ship around, because we believed that non-violently we could solve our problems, and there is a solution, there is hope. And it's the same, I think, for the people of Gaza and Palestine. There is hope, and keep at it and keep working for changing these policies.
Amen. Amen. Please do stick with us. We'll be right back. This is the People Speak Radio Show. I'm your host, Steve Johnson, talking with special guest Mairead McGuire, live on Internet Radio. And we'll be right back with our guests and audience questions after this short message break.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
Hi, I'm Richard Bowser. This is the great BBS Radio.
Today's school libraries are filled with endless opportunities. With access to print and digital materials, the latest technologies, and the guidance of a school librarian, our children are empowered with the tools they need to succeed in school and beyond. I'm Julianne Moore. Join me in celebrating all of the ways that school libraries and librarians are transforming learning for our students. For more information on how you can become involved, visit the American Association of School Librarians at aasl.org.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you.
You're listening to the People Speak Radio Show, coming to you live across America and across the world in real time on the BBS Radio Network. I'm your host for tonight, Steve Johnson, and we're back with a very special guest tonight, Mairead McGuire and organizer Wendy Goldsmith. I encourage all the listeners to visit their website at www.canadaboatgaza.org. Welcome back there, Mairead, ma'am.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. It's lovely to be speaking to you.
Awesome. I do believe we have a caller on line one. Caller, are you there? Can you tell us where you're from, what's your name, and your question? Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Nihal, and I'm calling from London, Ontario, Canada.
Fantastic. What's your question there?
Hi. Well, I just wanted to clarify. So I am a granddaughter of two Gazans, and my grandparents, my grandmother actually was killed in 1967. My grandfather also died in 2005 in Gaza due to the lack of infrastructure in Gaza. He had a heart attack, and when he went to the hospital, unfortunately, they didn't have the medical supplies and the medical equipment to resuscitate him. So I'm just calling to tell both Marie and Wendy that I wish you the best of luck, and I'm very thankful for what you're doing and for basically picking up the slack that the rest of us is, are not doing. And if there's anything that we can do to help you guys, what would that be?
Well, thank you very much indeed. Thank you. I think there's something everyone can do, and most certainly support the our websites if you can in any way. And the BDS movement is very important as well. So there are lots of ways, and campaign with your governments, Canadian American government, to change their policy on Israel, please, to stop funding the military occupation of Palestine and to insist on peace talks to solve the Israeli-Palestinian issue. Because peace is possible and the governments can do more to actually bring about peace. We proved that in Northern Ireland. The civil community mobilized and we demanded peace and we demanded an end to policies which were destroying and separating our people here. Peace is possible. It is possible to end wars, and it's possible for governments to sit down and in a civilized way solve problems without going to war. So there's lots we can all do to talk about non-violent, non-killing solutions to our problems in our world, and starting with Palestine.
Fantastic answer. Thank you very much for your call there, Lee Howe.
Thank you.
God bless.
And best of luck.
Thank you.
Stay safe.
Thank you very much. You know, all around the world, people are getting together and they're actually protesting in numbers we haven't seen ever before. I live, for example, in Perth, Western Australia, one of the most isolated capital cities in the world, and yet every time we see an Israeli incursion into the Palestinian lands, we see people in the thousands come out to protest. That surely is a sign that Palestine message has gotten all around the world. Wouldn't you not agree with that, Mairead?
Yes, I would, and I most certainly agree with the fact that all over the world the civil community is mobilizing. It always did, and we didn't hear so much about it, but now it's connecting, and that is makes it powerful. We are a powerful force, a non-violent force of love, of reconciliation, of forgiveness, of insisting that our political leaders stop fighting and start talking about peacemaking. That is what leadership is supposed to be about. Stop the wars. Stop the madness in the last few years where we have had governments going to war and destroying countries, and we're seeing the consequences of what today, when these problems can be solved around a negotiating table. That's what we elect our government leaders for. And so, yes, we can, but we have to deal also with the military-industrial complex. There's money in war, and people make money, but sadly, many lives are destroyed, including young people we send out to fight them. We have to stop wars, end wars, and solve our problems without killing each other. It is possible. The civil community has to mobilize in order to bring about this change of consciousness in the human family and moving away from militarism and war to non-violence and non-killing. It is possible.
It's not just the infrastructure and the lives that are damaged by the war machine and the industrial complex, the military-industrial complex. It's also the environment. They're killing the world with this pursuant of investments and profits. Do you see companies like the Carlyle Group that make huge investments in armaments, in missiles, in tanks, and bombs and planes? Do you see this as the biggest obstacle to peace because the power of greed is just so strong?
Well, you know, we have to change our own mindsets and our own consciousness and recognize that every human being is important and uphold their human dignity and human rights and international laws. And we can work on this. I mean, we have the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and we need to teach it in schools and mobilize people to work for their human rights and international law universally and universal disarmament. And if we put the focus on to doing that, then of course we have to challenge people who are making profit out of selling arms, and usually to both sides who are doing the fighting. And we must stop this sending in funds and money to armed groups, because the more when guns come on the situation, people flee. We have seen that. When you have a community living peacefully and people come in with guns, then the community gets frightened. So the more we have to take arms out of the situation and learn to solve our problem through dialogue and through negotiation and through diplomacy. And we have good diplomats who can do that, and we need to help focus their energies on solving the problem. And, you know, today in the world we see we've come out of the Cold War. We want now not to go back into a Cold War. It's important that we insist that the American president talks to the Russian president, talks to the leaders, political leaders in Europe, and solve the problems without going to war. We do not need war.
But there is a distinct lack of political will, whether it be in countries like Canada, the USA, the UK, or Australia. A lot of these politicians are just too scared to say anything in support of Palestine to be seen as an anti-Semite. Do you see that as that's one of their usual tricks that they use? Because if you don't support Israel, you must be some kind of anti-Semitic person. Do you see that that's what they're doing to the political will?
Well, I think that we have to call the bluff on this. And we have to say we have certain standards set down by the United Nations. We have international law. We have human rights. We have the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. We have all these standards, and we have to restore ethics and morality back into our political institutions and just not allow our governments to go along with policies that are totally unacceptable and setting aside human rights and international laws. We have to restore our ethical politics and challenge and support our political leaders to take a stand together and do what is right for the people. And that's very important today. Support those political leaders whose values you respect and who will stand up for people's dignity and people's rights. And when they know they're supported, it gives them courage to do it.
Very well spoken, very well responded. Do you see the Israeli policy, however, as being a Zionist political policy rather than an Israeli government policy? Because the Zionists feature very strongly in the political decisions that Israel makes. Do you see it somehow as a Zionist agenda rather than an Israeli agenda?
Well, unfortunately, Israeli policies with regard to the Palestinians and Gaza, their policies are totally against international law and human rights. They are breaking the Geneva Conventions. The United Nations has over 60 resolutions where they called on Israel to uphold human rights and international laws for the Palestinian people. The wall that Israel has built is illegal under the international under international law. They are moving more, building more and more settlements for Israelis, bringing in Jewish people from around the world for to live in settlements which are being built on Palestinian law, Palestinian land. So unfortunately, their policies do not meet international standards. And I think that it's important that we keep saying this, as we would say it for any country who is not upholding international law and human rights. So that's when we just are on firm ground when we say very clearly, we're not anti-Semitic. That is a wrong title to put on it. But what we are pro-peace. We're for peace for Palestine, peace for Israelis, and we believe that the peace road is the way for them to go in the Middle East.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Why do you think it is that Israel ignore so many international sanctions and so many international laws and resolutions? Why is it that they feel that they're above the law? Why do you think?
Well, you know, I think you should ask Israeli Jewish people that question why that they do not uphold international law for the Palestinian people. That is for them to answer. But it's for us to ask the question again and again and to demand that rights for the Palestinian people, for the ending of the occupation of Palestine, for the lifting of the illegal blockade of Gaza, and for peace in the Middle East.
Have you heard of the Orthodox Jewish group called the Naturai Karta, who believe that Palestine should be free? Have you heard of them, and have they given you any support in your peace movement?
Well, I have heard of them, but no, we have not had any immediate contact with them. There is a growing movement throughout the world as people become more aware of what the facts are, and particularly the tremendous suffering of the Palestinian people and the people of Gaza, then people are uniting their voices to say that this has to change, and Israeli policies, American policies, these have to change.
Mm. And it's worthwhile mentioning, on the two boats that are planning to leave in about a fortnight's time, there's going to be a whole bunch of people from all different nations. Can you, spell out some of the different nations that are going to be represented on the Peace Flotilla?
Yes. Well, the Peace Flotilla, the two boats, it's delegates and the crew are all women, because we want very much to be supportive of the tremendous, courageous Palestinian women and their work they're doing. So I met a few years ago Dr. Mona Al-Farah. She is from Gaza, and she spoke about the suffering of the little children in Gaza, how everybody's traumatized because these wars have been going on too long. And she inspired me to get an interest in Gaza and Palestine and to actually go. So there's tremendous people there, particularly women and young girls, working nonviolently for peace, and they can inspire us all. So going on the boat to Gaza will be people from Canada, New Zealand, South Africa, Norway, Turkey. So we have quite a few of women from different countries. And I know that we go representing the voice of millions of women and girls around the world who are saying, you know, we feel for the people of Gaza and the little children. We have not forgotten you, and we will never forget you. And we'll travel to Gaza as often as we can in order to help end the occupation of Palestine and Gaza.
How much support have you had personally from your homeland in Ireland? Have you had much people call you or give you messages of support for the actions that you're doing for Palestine?
Oh, yes. People support it very, very much. Very much. And Ireland, North and South, has always been very supportive for the Palestinian people.
And a few years ago, you were invited to the United States to speak at a Nobel Prize function, but you declined. Can you tell the audience why you declined that offer to speak at the Nobel Prize gathering?
Well, the Nobel laureates meet every year, both the laureates and the organizations, and our message is disarmament, nonviolence, reconciliation, peace. We believe peace is possible and people can do it together. But we always try to keep our we try to keep our independence and not be supported by governments. We are non-governmental. We are pro-peace. We are pro-people, pro-peace. And I felt that it was not being given its independence. It was more being taken over by people with a different agenda. So I chose not to go. I think it's very important, those of us who are not politicians, who want to be the civil community working supporting people who are working for human rights, human dignity, that we don't have a different agenda. We are not going in there with a different agenda. We are going in there to support people on the ground who are working to solve their problem, and that what they see to be the way to go forward. You know, we've got to be very careful now that we don't become, when we go into these countries, it's not our role to say what kind of political leadership or political setups they have. Our role as peace activists, pro-peace, pro-people, is to stand alongside those in those countries who have to solve the problem in the final analysis on their own.
Do you personally see the U.S. State Department as being an obstacle to peace throughout the Middle East? Do you see that?
You know, I think that it's important that we recognize that for many centuries we have used war and militarism as ways trying to solve our problems. But we're faced now with a different agenda, because we see very clearly now that militarism and war, regime change, occupations of other countries, superiority politics and trying to control other countries and their agendas is wrong. It doesn't work. And wars don't work. People die in wars, and there are other ways to solve our problems. So we have to go on the road of non-violence, dialogue, diplomacy, peacemaking. And, you know, we're all challenged, no matter where we live, to try to do things better and walk away from the old ways and use the new ways. So I think that there is a role for American policymakers and leaders to lead us towards peace, together with other leaders around the world in a more egalitarian fashion. You know, it must be, and I remember very clearly, whenever in the height of the Troubles in Northern Ireland, going to America and being supported by the American peace activists, whom I just love, in our non-violent efforts to solve problems here, and that we received help from the support and solidarity from many. So that kind of attitude to becoming peacemakers is very, very important from America, which is an important country. So a different way of doing things. And I hope your new president, whoever that may be, will be in the world a peacemaker and put aside wars and militarism and recognize America can be a good peacemaker.
Now, working for peace in the year 2016 in a world that is pretty much out of control, although the violence around the world is spiraling out of control, working for peace in an environment like this, that can be very, very taxing. And, of course, it's a tireless job. Where do you find the energy and the inspiration? Where does that come from in you personally?
Oh, it comes from people. You know, if you look at the statistics, the vast majority of people, no matter where they live, be it in here where I come from, or America, or the Middle East, or Syria, anywhere, the vast majority of people, 98% of people, want peace. They would just want to grow their family. They want to have the human security, like education, healthcare. They want the best for their family. So that is something to build on, all those people who want peace. But unfortunately, if we have governments who decide that they're going to go to war or invasions or try to control other countries for their resources or whatever, if you have that kind of political leadership, if you have an elite at the top who are not sharing the wealth of a country or the world, that is where we have to change mindsets, change attitudes, and move away from war. And that can be done. That is possible. So for the human family to survive, we have to reject militarism and war and solve the problem non-violently and without killing each other, create a new culture. New way of thinking, right. Of non-killing and non-violence.
A lot of the problem that we're facing today is mainstream media just do not cover these topics. As you said earlier, it is a problem with misinformation by the mainstream media, by ignoring the Palestinian issue and making it purely about the poor Jews who need to defend themselves and defend their right to exist. But don't Palestinians have that right to exist also? That's not being represented in the mainstream media. Do you see that?
Yes, I think so. But wasn't it President Eisenhower who said that we must be very careful about the military-industrial complex, and the corporate media now is part of that, taking over our democratic political institutions. And I think that we need today to be very alert of who is making money out of war and militarism and say that we want to change this. We're really talking here about changing not only in one country, but as the human family. We're talking here about really a new consciousness amongst the human family, a new way of thinking, a new way of acting towards each other. And that's a huge quantum leap from acceptance of violence to moving into non-violence, and we have to start to learn that as the human family, not setting one person against another, one country against another, one president against another president. I mean, if we keep on that road, we will destroy each other. So to create that new consciousness, we start at the grassroots by teaching non-violence and non-killing. And that everybody has to do that to bring about that new cultural thinking in the entire human family.
Absolutely. I believe it was Gandhi who said, the steps to change begin with ourselves. We first must change ourselves. So how in that line of thinking, how important is critical thinking for people to engage in?
Well, I think the most important thing is that we start with ourselves. And we try every day to be a little more peaceful and a little bit kinder, a little bit less judgmental and fault-finding, and try to see ways of put ourselves in the shoes of the other person. You know, there's nothing black and white in life, and there's no, we can't divide people into all good people and all bad people. Life is not like that. We are all a bag of dolly mixtures. But, you know, if we kind of cultivate empathy and compassion for each other, then we will learn to be able to dialogue with others, and we won't have enemies, and we will learn to speak to people about what is hurting them. Today it's important that we ask the question, what is hurting the Muslim world so much and the Islamic State fighters? Why are those young men using violence? And listen to the answers and try to deal with the issues that they are articulating, and then we can solve the problem. You know, it's we need more wiser people willing to listen, because war on terrorism, war on drugs, a war on anything, you're destroying human lives here. And we have to stop this, destroying human lives.
Well, there's not long to go before you board the boat. Do you ever get nervous before you go out on an adventure or a mission like this? Do you get nervous or worried at all? Or is your fear put behind you for the blessings of the Palestinians?
Well, I I'm not a good sailor. I get seasick, so I just I'm hoping that I'm hoping the weather will be kind to us. But anyway,
well, we can only
hope. All right, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. And you know, it's really not about us. If we focus on the Palestinians and the people of Gaza, and I believe we'll get in, and I hope that governments and people around the world will pray for us and will support the people of Gaza, because we are only going on a short boat trip. They live in Gaza. Remember, half of them under 21 years of age, and by 2020, Gaza will be unlivable. And that's a big, big challenge to every one of us.
One last question, ma'am. Do you support the stop funding of Israel? I think that's an obvious question.
Do I support
the stop funding of Israel?
Yes, the military funding of the occupation by Israel of Palestine, I believe, should be stopped.
Right, right. Well, we're certainly going to have you back here, especially maybe even when you're on the boat, maybe have you back as a guest. Would you agree to that?
Yes, certainly. Yes, certainly. That would be... Yes, I'll do that.
Fantastic. We're going to have Wendy Goldsmith on as well. We didn't actually get time to have her on the air, but we will certainly get into it very soon. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you very much indeed, and I wish all your listeners to have a lovely, happy day.
You've been listening to The People Speak Show with special guest Mairead McGuire. I'd like to thank her and remind all the listeners to visit the website at CanadaBoatGaza.org. Stay tuned for a very special guest next week. Mary Rod will coming soon on The People Speak Show. Big thanks go out to the producers, Mike, Doug, and Donald, and to all my friends throughout the world and all the guys who give me so much support. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. You can tune into my own channel on YouTube called Stop Funding Israel. But for me for now, take care and bye until next time.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.